Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, Tuesday night, 11 o'clock on the dot tonight. It's Mac and Candela, just like it is every Tuesday night, right here on the MI Prep the Pros Podcast Network. I'm Jerry Mack, Nick Candela across from me, as always.
What up?
What's happening, man?
Hey, man, I'm excited. I clinched playoffs last week in fantasy football.
Oh.
So this week was kind of fighting for seeds. I won.
It is the beginning of playoff time.
Playoffs, absolutely.
I have been seeing an abundance of fantasy posts as far as playoffs, and I've noticed,
yeah,
particularly this year, and remind everybody, I'm not in the fantasy stuff this
year. Yeah, you're cashed out.
But I've noticed everybody posting in these sports groups or even on their pages, like, there's no dominant teams in fantasy leagues. Like, it was real weird. Like, everybody was divided, you know, separated by like a game or two.
Yeah,
like, first place was like 9-3, and then everybody was 7-6, 6-6, 5-6.
You know what? That's pretty much the tale in my league. Now I'm in a dynasty league, so we keep every single player. It's like a keeper league, only you can play all year round, make trades in the off season. You know, it's pretty fun. Trade picks matter. And you keep a 30 man roster. We have a 5-round rookie draft. Man, you just chugged some beverage and you made me shy after that, man. I'm gonna tell you what. Anyway, we got a 5-man rookie draft, so it's pretty cool. It's different than your average, you know, redraft league. It's pretty fun. So in our league, there is one dominant team. I will give him credit.
Okay.
And
then everybody's bunched up together.
And then everybody else was literally down to the wire. There were some teams that could have been in with the win this week. Sorry, Jeremy Schubert, for ending your season. But
you're not sorry.
He ended mine last
What's
year.
What's his name?
Jeremy Schubert.
Schubert.
Shoes.
Jeremy Schubert, if you're listening to this podcast, whether it be live or archived, I promise you, Nick Candela is not sorry for eliminating your playoff hopes in fantasy football.
Yeah, especially since he eliminated my season. Anyway, but one of our followers on our sports forum, active members, Brandon Osmanski, Dr. Osmanski, he's dominant. He only had one loss. Now,
What's going on?
I can't remember who that loss was to. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I'm sure you can't remember
who it was to. I'm trying to think who we lost to.
For some reason, I can't believe you. Okay, so I do want to ask this, though. You said you had kind of agreed with the fact that it's kind of weird this year where there's like one dominant team and then everybody's just 500 or a game above. What, in your opinion, because again, I'm separated from all this stuff this year.
Yeah.
What's causing that? Is it an injury year? Is it one of those years where just the Indians and the Cubs and
it's one of them weird
and
years.
The Cavaliers are just winning a championship and the Detroit Lions are in first place with four games to go.
Yeah.
So everything's just flip flopped. Is it one of those things?
You know what? I don't really have a definitive answer for that. But what I would say is, you know, fantasy football was so dominantly, it was so running back powerful, and there's no more dominant running backs where you're not getting, oh, well, of course, you know, I guess, you know, Ezekiel Elliott on Dallas has been pretty dominant, but there's not, you know, not every team has that one good guy where it's like guaranteed starter. So what I think you're seeing a lot more of is these flex positions, tight end, receiver, running back kind of combinations where, you know, you don't have the one guy that goes off for 30 every week. You got a bunch of guys who get you 12, 14 if they get in the end zone because of how much NFL teams are spreading the ball out.
Okay.
I just think it's a changed game. I just think the way of the dominant performance is over. And those who are dominant, like Brandon, you're lucky every once in a while.
I'll be honest with you, man. Fantasy kind of got stale on me. We needed to switch something up. And we've been working on a 20-man league to go through multiple sports. The last couple of years, we've been kind of in and out of doing it. You know, we did it for football a couple of times. We did it one time for baseball. And it was cool. Look, I like the 20-man league, to be honest with you. And I think it's what the doctor ordered to change things up. But the twist on our football league was that we were doing individual defensive players as well as head coaches.
What?
Yep. As well as head coaches, you would get points for
timeout
victories,
call.
No victories, and margin of victory.
Okay.
But when you're running 20 deep and you're still running a full offensive roster, you know, and you have to cap this league. When you're running 20 men deep like that, you have to cap the league where, you know, you only get one, you know, no more than two quarterbacks, because not everybody can even field two quarterbacks. Right. There's a lot of things where you have
intense.
To. It is. It's real intense. And we spent the last couple of years really trying to find that equation to balance out the lack of depth to where, you know, you can counter it, you know, with that, you know, if you don't have, a star quarterback, you're
running Belichick.
Right. It balances that out.
And he's running
it
up every week.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see how that could be interesting. I always thought it'd be cool to have like a reverse draft, like a reverse league where it's all individual defensive players, and then you just pick one offensive team rather than the traditional. Because, you know, the way I see it is fantasy football is great to learn who the players are, to kind of get more involved in the NFL. In fact, it's some people's only reason for watching football nowadays.
It is.
Because the product is such crap.
Vegas in general is the only reason why a lot of people watch sports. But
yeah, that's true. Yeah, gambling or whatever, you know, however. Whatever your sports vice is, that's a different topic, I suppose. But, you know, a lot of these people, yeah, we know the offensive players, but there's still some defenses that I don't know out there. And it'd be cool to learn more people in the league and become a fan of more individual people. And I think, you know, a reverse league might be fun. But the way of the land right now is going to those weekly drafts, you know, fantasy football,
the FanDuel, the
fan
weekly
duels.
Fantasy, the daily fantasy, really.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know,
haven't gotten
sports.
Into it yet.
Me either. I got some friends. I know Deshaun from MI Prep to Pros. You'll be hearing a lot more from him. He likes to throw it down on the FanDuel, and my brothers are out there on the FanDuel, and I got a lot of friends who are doing it. So,
hey, everybody's doing it.
Yeah, why not?
Good enough reason for me to do it, right?
Yeah, peer pressure. Sometimes you got to forget what they taught you in DARE and, you know, just say yes.
I mean, it's a different type of
it's
a different type of peer pressure. We're talking about well, I guess, I mean, fantasy, gambling,
I mean, if
it's
all the,
addicting, I guess. I don't know. Are we even going with this?
Yeah, if all the cool kids are doing it, I guess I'm in. Why not?
You know, I guess if all the other suckers are out there spending money, I'll go out there and contribute to the lucky
winner,
too.
Yeah, I'll take
too.
Your money. That's fine.
That's what I'm saying. There's always, you know, hey.
Someone's got to win it.
All right. Well, welcome, Mac and Candelo, Prep to Pros. Good things going on here. Speaking of fantasy, I do want to put this out there to everybody. Michigan Prep to Pros has created a College Bowl Mania Pick'em group. You can search it online on the ESPN platform.
Oh, it's on ESPN.
It is on ESPN. The group is called MIP2P, the number two. So you can search us out there. Now, here's the thing, though. It's free entry, and the winner is going to receive a $25 gift card to Buffalo Wild Wings. But there is a catch.
You have to buy it yourself.
Nope. Oh. You have to be a member of our Michigan Prep to Pro Sports Talk Facebook group. You can't win. I've shared it on my regular page, my regular Facebook page, and I know a lot of people are too. But free entry. Everybody gets a free entry. Winner's going to get $25 gift card to Buffalo Wild Wings, but you have to be a member of the Michigan Prep to Pros Sports Talk Facebook group.
Also free.
Also free. Yes. Also free. Not too much to ask, right?
No, I don't think so.
Search it out. Ask to join. We'll approve you. We got some good conversations in there. There's debates.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of strong personalities in there. There's some good conversation. There's ugly conversation. But it's the arena of sports talk that you're looking for. That's what I can tell you. We've built an arena for everybody there. So, point being, do the fantasy with us. Join our College Bowl Mania Pick'em group and show us how sweet you are.
And make sure to take us with you when you go to B-dubs.
Yeah, that'd be nice, too.
We're pretty cool. We like to hang.
I'll even be okay with going on Tuesday where it's cheap wings.
Yeah, Tuesday, it's only like $15 wings.
I'll even buy my own beer. Just hook me up with a six-pack of wings.
All right, some blazing. Do you rock the blazing? You into the spicy?
I do rock the blazing. Not normally, but
every once in a while you need that.
I do. I did lose a bet, and I still have to pay up.
Okay.
But that's 12 Blazing Wings I have to consume for losing a bet.
Is it making you do traditional? So you got to get your hands and get your face in there.
You know, that was never talked about. I think that's pretty much open. It's not going to bother me either way, whether it's traditional or boneless.
I'm a spicy food kind of guy. It can't be.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's not an issue with me. Okay. I did a wing eating contest back in my day. Group of people was there. Nobody had a chance. I knew it going into the beginning, right? I had 36 wings and 2 large basket of wedges down before everyone else participating had 12 wings and 1 large basket down. So, and
you came home.
12 of those 36 wings were Blazing. The other 12 were spicy garlic, and the other 12 were Caribbean jerk. So
those are my three right there.
I'm not afraid of the Blazing. In fact, it's probably about that time I pay up on that bet. It's coming up on a year and a half, I think. But it's okay. I'm doing it on purpose. The person who I owe the winnings took like 2 years to pay me off on my 18 wings. So, and I'm still not even convinced he did it. The person who was there said he wouldn't accept it. And it was his homeboy. Yeah, when your homeboy tells the person you owe your 18 wings that, yeah, he ate Blazing Wings, but I don't know if it qualifies as, you know, he paid up sort of thing.
Okay.
You still owe me 18 wings. That's what
he took a bite and then quit.
He probably left meat on the bone.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you that.
You gotta go all out.
Clean them bones or go boneless.
That's right.
That's the only way to do it. All right. So a lot of stuff going on as well that we can get to. You know, it's kind of a weird spot for me. It really is. Football season, I know the NFL is down to its final stretch. It's last leg. It's last 4 games.
Yeah, come around the bend here.
Fourth quarter for the NFL season. But it's a weird spot for me. And I start to feel weird starting last week. And now that officially – the conference championship week is over. You know, to me, college football is done, man. You know, we got 10 days off and then it's bowl season, you know, and there's going to be football on every day, but you know, bowl season is like, I like bowl season. I enjoy it. I don't rush it, but to me,
competition is over.
Yeah, man. In college football, just the season goes too quick, and that's my thing, man. College football and the prep season. I made mention to you when the high school football season ended that, man, that was quick. You know, we only got a few weeks left of the college season, and now here we are. College season's all wrapped up, right? And it's just like, man.
Time to head indoors.
What am I going to do?
Yeah.
College basketball. I mean, I've told you I'm on that college basketball scene. I feel funny on the inside. I feel, you know, like it's that time.
Like climbing
where
the rope in gym class?
It makes me feel kind of funny. which, by the way, I used that reference on our Thirsty Thursday podcast hosted by Nick Buckler. I sat in on his first episode, and he didn't get it. He just kind of looked at me. He was like,
there's a bit of an age gap there. I don't know how into the Wayne's World that 25 and under crowd is.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
They're going to learn today, tell
but
you that
I,
much.
I do feel, not funny, but I do feel lost a little bit, a little bit incomplete this time of year with
you can't get your football fix.
And I get it, man.
Over.
Pros is still there. The Lions are bringing people
those really
back
good
to
Thursday
life.
Night games.
Nah.
But they got funny uniforms on.
Yeah, it doesn't do it for
me.
Yeah,
me either.
You know, luckily, though, like I said, the Lions are starting to wake up the town. It seems like, football runs this place. Football runs the sports talk radio. Football drives the ratings on any sports network that's out there. And there wasn't a lot of football talk. And let's be honest. I mean, just outside of football, specifically Detroit Lions drive the sports talk radio. And people weren't really giving you a lot. I mean, the only thing that was really out there to talk about regarding the NFL season in this town was why the ratings were so bad and dropping and just kind of brainstorming that stuff.
I just think the Detroit market, as far as Detroit Lions go, they don't know what to talk about because normally we're talking about the draft already. Right now we'd be talking about whether or not Jabril Peppers should be a Lion next year or whether whoever should be a Lion. I mean, draft talk is – am I wrong? Normally, right now, we're talking about the draft. But the Lions are in first place. They got a couple game lead.
Coming
they got
off
Chicago.
A great win against New Orleans.
A huge win.
First complete team win.
I was so impressed by the defense in this game. And obviously the ability,
I know you were.
The ability of Matt Stafford, you know, and the offense, no turnovers all game. We were able to possess the ball, score when we needed to. We had big plays. The offense obviously been getting a lot of pub all year round. Matt Stafford's playing terrific. The defense is something that I want to kind of spotlight today.
Okay.
Regarding our Leos. There's some stats out there that I don't think people realize. I mean, when you talk Lions defense, you immediately think of Big Money Slay, Ziggy Ansah, you know,
they've
Levy.
They've been dealing with a lot of injuries. I mean, they haven't had Levy all year.
Right. Ansah's been in and out.
In and out.
Slay's been great. I mean, I don't know if he's still worth the money he got, but he's been great. You know, you can't complain about him. But to hear Whitehead, I was shocked. I was kind of looking over some, you know, league leaders and stuff like that, you know, and some of my show prep. And to hear Whitehead is ranked in the top 10 in tackles in the NFL. Very impressive.
It, you know, it doesn't hold that much shock value to me.
Especially at linebacker?
Oh, it doesn't hold that much shock value to me. It doesn't.
But is that something that you, if I said at the beginning of the year, Tahir Whitehead is going to be one of the top tacklers in the league,
I would have said, okay. No, I would have said, okay, really.
Okay.
And, no,
and that's fair.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to be like, oh, I know it all and I could have saw this coming because, look.
But you thought he was
90%,
a great player?
90% of the time, I am dead wrong when it comes to the NFL, right? I can fully admit that. Tahir Whitehead, a couple years ago when Stephen Tulloch went down.
Oh, yeah.
Had the chance to step into that role, right? Had the chance to step into that role and was serviceable. You know, did a great job filling in. And Stephen Tulloch was always one of those guys who led the league in tackles, right? And who is this guy filling in for?
Yeah, very.
So that's why it doesn't really hold that much shock value to me because, you know, he's been out there and he's actually – I was kind of hoping for him to become – a centerpiece to that linebacking core and someone who can kind of step up and take over the reins as people start to leave, and he's done that. So that's
good.
No
doubt about it. No doubt about it. And then another thing I'm impressed is, you know, the first few weeks of the league, you know, everyone was kind of hating on the defense. No one really knew.
Rightfully so, though.
Absolutely. But I'm just saying everyone kind of counted them out, and they've actually had a lot to do with keeping these Lions in these close games, getting stops,
yes,
interceptions to end games, you know, putting nails in coffins. They're making the plays when they need to, and that's something that's been missing from this Lions team forever.
Twice this year. Now, it's no stranger to anybody who watches the NFL that the Lions have been in extremely close games all year, right? I mean, I think the biggest gap was seven points, margin of victory or defeat,
right,
going in, you know, before this past week. I believe it was no games were separated more than 7 points. So, their wins were comeback wins. even their losses were very close.
Or down, at least down in the fourth quarter and coming back. Yeah, absolutely.
Something that the Lions defense has done this year that you haven't seen them do in past years.
Stop the run.
Come up with that big play to ice a game. And they've done that twice now.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
They've done it twice now. Slay's done it. In fact, they might have done it three times, if I'm remembering correctly. I think Quinn's got two. And
Over
Slay's
got a couple,
one.
Yeah.
And I'm talking interceptions, you know, in the last 2 minutes and sealed it. Like, we come out.
I thought Slay had two. Maybe.
One of those guys have two, I'm pretty sure. So they might have three. You know, right. And that's impressive because, again, that is not something you typically see from the Lions. I mean,
right. And a lot of people are talking about, you know, oh, well, they're just getting lucky. You know, yeah, but they've been so unlucky forever. You know, Matt Prater kicking that 58.
That's professional sports, though,
exactly,
man.
But Matt Prater hitting that 58-yard field goal to send that Minnesota game into overtime, that's something that happened
to the
Lions.
To think.
You know what I mean?
People doubted Matt Prater when he was getting his sea legs back under him, coming back to Detroit after having some time off. He was a hell of a kicker in Denver.
No doubt about it. And people were saying, you know, the air in Denver kind of helps out kickers. You know, that's why you can kick a 65-yard field
goal. He was having some individual issues, some personal issues, you know, but great kicker. Turned out great. Great place for him. I mean, that's a great place for him.
Glad to have him.
Yep.
I mean, he's kicking indoors. Doesn't really, you know, most teams – that we're playing do play indoors. Well, I guess, I don't know. The NFC North, pretty much, they're all outdoors now that Minnesota has their new stadium. But our home games, he's getting at least half of the season indoors, guaranteed. Then we go to Dallas indoors, New Orleans indoors. So I like our chances with a good kicker. I like our chances. And a lot of people, but again, we're saying about the luck issue. Is it luck or are they good? Well, I think good teams create their own luck. And the bounces that have been going against the Lions forever are finally starting to come together. And hey, this 2016, the athletics year, not just athletics, but you can take it into politics, sports. Like you said, the Cavaliers, the
everything's
Cubs,
just wild this year, man.
Anything can happen.
Roll with it.
Why not?
Roll with it.
Why not?
Roll with
now,
it.
Now, in 3 weeks, we could be sitting here saying, same old Lions, dropped, got smoked in Dallas.
Look, if they
lost another one to Chicago.
If they drop this division, absolutely. That is the biggest SOL thing that they could absolutely do. I don't think they're going to drop this division, though. I really don't. You know, going into entering this past weekend's game against the Saints, I was looking at the remaining schedule and seeing that they were at the Saints, home against the Bears, on the road against the Giants and the Cowboys, and then at home against the Packers. I still don't trust that Packers game at home. I know it's at home, and I do think we're going to win that game, but I just don't trust it yet. It's the Green Bay Packers, right? And that's what it comes down to. Now, so with that being said, I was kind of looking at the Saints, the Bears, the Giants, and the Cowboys as kind of like a four-game stretch, and not having the most amount of confidence going into Dallas, although I think they're due for a loss. And Matthew Stafford always plays extremely well in Dallas. But it's tough to win in the NFL, period, right? So right. If you're looking at those these three games coming up next, and including the one with the Saints, I had really thought they were going to have to win two out of the three last road games from the Saints, the Giants, and the Cowboys to really ice that division. And they got one against the Saints.
Right.
Now they got a split with Dallas and the Giants. And I think the Giants are beatable. I really do.
Giants are beatable. Dallas has they have something special going on. They have an unbelievable offensive line again. Ezekiel Elliott is going to be your rookie of the year, and he's possibly up for MVP of the league. Dak Prescott, another rookie. I mean, things are looking up down there in Jerryville.
Yeah. I mean, it's what they wanted. It is definitely what they wanted. You know, we'll just have to see, though. I think the Lions are in good shape. You know, they've done a couple of things to kind of draw me back in. And I know last year was a horrible season, and it's the season that really drove me away. And I've always said it, I'll always be a fan of the Detroit Lions, but it was more the NFL as a league. You know, me not being, you know, I couldn't give them my ratings, and I still don't give them my ratings. I listen.
You're not going to root against them. You're still going to root for them.
I'm still pulling for the Lions.
Right.
Right. I'm still pulling for the Lions. And even last year when I left the NFL, I did drop the Lions. And there was a couple of things that they had to do.
You buried them.
To bring them back. And they've done them. They've officially done them. One of those things were beat Green Bay in Green Bay. Now, they got smoked in Green Bay this year. But last year, and I got ridiculed last year on social media especially because I brought up everybody had just had an awful feeling that the Lions were just going to be poor last year, right? I mean, we just kind of knew it. I had put it out there in the world and asked the world before the season even started, what was going to be more important to the Lions' future as an organization, making the playoffs for a second straight year or beating the Green Bay Packers on the road? And everybody dismissed that question, said I was stupid. You know, there's not even a question. Who cares about beating Green Bay on the road? You know, we want the playoffs, like Green, you know. But I've always looked at that, and it's like I just kind of thought that beating Green Bay at Green Bay was the stepping stone to winning a division, was the stepping stone to getting back to the playoffs.
I understand
right?
that, where you're not going to win the division if you can't ever beat Green Bay on the
right,
road.
Right. So I put that as one of those things where the Lions, you know, it was going to be more impactful for the Lions to beat Green Bay on the road last year. I had voted I would rather have a Lions win at Lambeau last year than a playoff win last year. And they got it done. So that was one of those things. And now here
that
we
was
are this
your
year.
First step.
That was the first step, was beating Green Bay in Lambeau.
Okay.
For my life, I could never, ever, ever remember the Lions beating Green Bay. I know it had been like 25 or 26 years, right? I mean, I would have been 7 or 8 when that happened. I don't remember it.
Right.
I don't remember it. And they did that last year. So that was one of those things that was on the list to happen. And now here we are the following year with an opportunity to not just get into the playoffs, but the best chance to host a playoff game since I can remember. That's huge to me. So the Lions are back. They've done what they need to do. We've got four games left, baby. And they're 2 games. They've got essentially a 2-game lead because they don't have that tiebreaker against Green Bay, but they've got a 3-game lead against the Vikings and they hold a 2-game lead against Green Bay with Green Bay at home to wrap up the season January 2nd.
Ooh, man, you don't want it to come down to that game.
Why the Bears beat Green Bay the last week.
Bears beat the Lions.
A few weeks ago or a few years ago. I know it was a few years ago, but.
Yeah. Hey, you don't. My opinion is you don't want to have to beat Green Bay to make it. Clinch now. Win the next 2, and it's over.
And you know what? This is your best chance to do it. You got the Bears at home, and you've got the Giants on the road. And you know what? That win.
Go out there and
that
get it done.
Win on the road in New Orleans is the type of win that catapults and extends winning streaks.
Now you expect to win.
Yes.
Now you have the Big Mo. I'm a very firm believer in Big Mo.
Indeed. You know, and going to it, when the Lions lost 3 straight to start after they beat the Colts to start the year, they had lost 3 straight to the Titans at home, on the road against the Packers. That stuff, like, there really is snags in the NFL. Like, when you get on that losing slump, right, you need a big win to get off of it, right? And they had lost to Tennessee and
lost 3 straight.
Tough fashion at home, right? That's a bad loss. And then they had a bad loss against the Packers in Green Bay. And I know it was 34-27, but it was like 34-0
they were
at halftime, right? Like, they were out of it. It was a bad loss. And then they had a horrible loss against the Bears.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been surprised if they had lost to the Eagles at home the following week just because that's the way the NFL works. So referencing that, that's how important that win was against the Saints down in New Orleans to be able to carry that momentum. And I think they roll the Bears, right? And again, continuing streaks and all that stuff, I think they have a great chance to beat the Giants. So, next 2 games, get it done.
Get it done.
Get it done. Win it.
Very cool.
Headline-wise, Lions are bringing back Joique Bell.
Yeah.
The Detroit fan favorite. Man, he's got to be the best, worst player
ever
that the fans love since Bobby Higginson,
Tony Clark.
Bobby Higginson. I'm going to go with Bobby Higginson.
Bobby had a few good
fan
seasons.
Favorite.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
200 average hitter. Fan favorite.
He was.
Part of the worst time of the Detroit Tigers history.
Oh,
Fan favorite.
Yeah.
Joique Bell. Third down running back. Short yard specialist.
He had a couple games for the Lions in his day.
He had a couple. Spent 4 years with him, man.
Hey, man, he's the D2 Heisman.
Look, hey, I love the guy. Everything he represents,
much love,
the city.
Man. Absolutely.
You know,
great story. We were talking about this a little bit earlier.
We want Joique Bell as a Detroit Lion.
I just
have to laugh about that, though. I mean,
we want him as long as Abdullah's out.
So when the news broke today, you know, I was thinking about it like, okay, do I use that news on tonight's show? You know, like, is it really news? You know, like, the Lions are cutting, like, NFL pro teams cut and sign people every single day. Right?
Did you know? Hey, newsflash, Justin Forsett is gone already.
right. Gone.
That's why we have Joique Bell.
Right. So, you know, I'm just kind of thinking like, man, you know, there's 4 games on today. The Pistons were in action against the Bulls. The Red Wings were in Winnipeg. Michigan State was in action. You know, Michigan had a game against Texas. And we've only got a minute for the sports report.
Right.
And I'm thinking like, but the funny part was with the fan hype, man, I had to put it in there. It's news. For some reason.
People love them.
For some reason, the Detroit Lions signing running back Joique Bell is news. God love the Detroit Lions fans.
Have to love
them. God, please get them a Super Bowl.
Oh, man.
You know, I take that back.
They don't deserve it. The fans don't deserve it. The team deserves
yes.
it. The guys playing, the guys who have been here since that 0-16 season, and the people that have really stuck around who could have left, some fans deserve it. There's a particular group of fans that don't deserve it.
I 100% agree.
Period.
Period.
We'll just leave it there. Is that fair?
No doubt about it.
You know what
it.
I'm talking about?
No doubt about
if
it.
If the people want to know what I'm talking about, just come and join the Michigan Prep.
You'll find out real fast.
Real fast, man. Real fast, man.
But, hey, I was thinking about this a couple days ago, talking with a friend.
Uh-oh.
How different is watching the Super Bowl when you have a team
I don't know.
Invested?
I don't know. Has your friend had a team in the Super Bowl?
Never. But that's what I'm saying. Like, we get all this hype. It's the Super Bowl, and people have parties, and they order pizzas and wings and whatever.
Well, I mean, you saw a commercial out of all the homemade videos down when New Orleans won the Super Bowl. Right?
Right.
Like, that's people dropping to their knees and cheering. Like, people root for the game. But around here, it's like, yeah, it's like New Year's Eve. It's a reason to get the friends over. You know, all the, you know, I don't mean it sounds sexist, but at the parties I'm at, the women are all conversing on one end of the basement.
Oh boy.
The men are all surrounded by the bar TV in the basement. And, you know, you got a couple different things going on. There's kids running around. But when the Lions, if that ever happens, if you actually
what are you
have
going to
a
do?
Team invested.
Don't answer that question.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Don't answer that question.
Could you imagine what that would be like?
No.
You know, normally, you know, the kids are coming, oh, can you give me this? You're like, oh, yeah, no problem. You walk over, you'll be like, just a second, it's 3rd and 1.
Here's a crazy,
I can't
crazy random question for you, right? Completely off subject. Where were you when the Pistons won the championship?
I was at Brandon Osmanski's house in his basement, probably.
The man who's dominating you in fantasy?
The guy who lost to me in fantasy this year, his only loss.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's right. You put him out. He's not sorry. I remember that.
Well, that was Jeremy.
Oh,
I
yeah.
put him out. Brandon's the guy who's
damn.
Dominant. He's like 14-1, 13-1.
Okay. But you beat him.
But I beat him.
His lone loss is to you?
Correct, sir.
Watch out, Brandon. Hey, he's going to get you. He's going to get you again, man. Some teams are just some
he's
teams are
first
just
round
built
by.
To beat other teams.
If we meet again, it'll be in the finals, and I plan on seeing you there, sir.
What's your worst fantasy moment? Like, is there anything?
Yeah.
Have you ever been jobbed?
100%.
Is there anything that just sticks out that?
Yep. Last season, my redraft league, I thought I was good to go. I had about a 45-point lead going into the Monday night game, and I forget player was who he was, but it was somebody where, like, you could just write it off. Oh, guy averages 9 points a game. He's not going to do anything. All of a sudden, he goes off for, I'm not even exaggerating, like 50-some points, and I lose in the first round of the playoffs.
It's not like you're really getting jobbed, though. But it's a bad story.
A guy
that's
for
the worsty
when he averages 9 a game.
Fair.
It was over.
Okay.
It was my cousin who I was playing, and he actually even texted me, dude, ooh, I just saw what happened. I can't believe that happened either. And then he, you know, gave me the finger and, you know, went on his way. But yeah, I've been jobbed. What I feel is jobbed. Obviously, it's out of my control.
I got one. You ready for this one?
I'm in.
All right. So entering the championship game, right? I was favored.
Okay.
I was favored going into the title game. Celebration, party, fantasy league, whatever. Everybody comes up to the bar.
Yeah.
You know, they're distributing out the money, all that stuff. Good times. I had a lead going into the last game. You know, everything's good. It's already wrapped up, man. Like, I'm ready to collect my chippers. You know, I told everybody, you know,
buying
come on up here, right? I'm buying around, right? I'm cashing in, I'm buying around. So, what happened? So, Joe Webb, you remember him? I got Joe Webb. It actually became
okay.
a description, a coined phrase of getting jobbed. So Joe Webb was a wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
Ended up playing quarterback like the last couple of games or something like that, right? Like, he wasn't even a wide receiver that like made anybody's list, but this guy got converted into a quarterback.
Is this like Culpepper era? No. Okay. This was 6-7 years ago, okay. man. Something okay. like that. More recently. Okay. Joe Webb's still around. In fact, I'm pretty sure someone got Joe Webb a couple of years ago again.
Okay. Because
someone, he hit me, the same guy who Joe Webb me hit me up was like, you know, hey, check this out. Ha, ha, ha. I'm like, dude, it's still not funny.
Right. So what's the Joe Webb?
So the Joe Webb, he was listed as a wide receiver, right? And he was a wide receiver, but due to depth chart issues and injuries and all that stuff, the Minnesota Vikings ended up starting this guy at wide receiver. So this dude.
You mean quarterback?
Quarterback. Sorry. They started him at quarterback. So this dude picked up Joe Webb, started him at the wide receiver position. Had basically two quarterbacks going. And this, look, he was like a Michael Vick, you know, like you know, wildcat
Shifty.
All over the place. You know, I'm a wide receiver, I'm going to throw, but I'm going to run. You know, and this was all new. There was no game footage on this guy being quarterback, what he was going to offer. It was, you know, boom, this guy went off for like 3 touchdowns. Another one rushing.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? 200 yards
so
passing.
He basically went up against 2 quarterbacks in the league.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Yeah, that's definitely getting Joe Webbed. Now, some other horror stories I've heard is one is a guy who finally won. He thought he was going to win his title. All of a sudden, this is back in the Culpepper era. All they needed to do, his literal words were, all Culpepper has to do is not throw an interception, and I win by one.
Oh, come on.
Very next play.
Toss to Pickers.
Culpepper.
Woo!
Interception. -2, he lost by 1. The other team comes on, takes a knee, and they win the game.
Don't do it, folks.
Another one, back in the day when we used to have to do stats by the newspaper, because there was no internets yet.
Yes.
So you had to get the Monday morning newspaper to get all the statistics, right? And
yep.
write it all on pieces of paper. Steve Young, this is another one that was in the championship game. Do is take a knee. Instead, he runs out the clock by just getting the ball and running around backwards.
Take the loss of yards.
Takes the loss of yards, runs out of bounds. San Francisco wins. Everyone's happy. Except it was like -25 rushing yards on that play. And he went from a victory to a loss. So there's been definitely some bad beats in the fantasy.
So just got a message in from Eric Kassar, host of Kicking It with Kassar.
Doing a great job on
Monday
night.
Hosting the solo show. Really hammers home the NFL talk. You can catch him on the Michigan Prep to Pro podcast network, like we said, Monday, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Minnesota Viking fan. I don't even know what you're saying.
Go ahead, Heisman.
Just go ahead.
Sorry.
Oh, you want to get into the Heisman stuff? We're,
no,
we're running on a ticker.
Okay. Kassar.
So he just informed me that Webb is indeed still in the league, and he is strictly a special team man, a return man for the Panthers now.
Okay, okay.
No, I don't know. That's
so no chance he's going to be stepping in for Cam Newton.
Hey, you never know that. I'm pretty sure it happened again a couple years ago, man. I'm telling you. Watch out for Joe Webb. Watch out for Joe Webb.
So maybe I should stash him in my Dynasty League. What do you think?
That would have been my first and only fantasy title, by the way. First and only fantasy title. I don't claim to be one of those fantasy guys that are off the chain, win it every single year. Can't even make that claim. I had a lot of fun with it.
I've been a bridesmaid a few times, never a bride.
See, and that was the most frustrating part about the fantasy stuff, man, to be honest with you. Too many times did I find myself in the semifinals, in the finals.
That's a good job. Another way to get jobbed is if your team clinches. And
emotionally exhausted,
like
man.
You have like a Peyton Manning or like a Cam Newton, and you know the team's 14-0, or you have Tom Brady and they're going undefeated and they rest all their starters in your fantasy football Super Bowl. That always sucks when I hear about that for people. But, you know, I'm glad Kassar was able to check in with us. Now Kassar has a chance to kick it with Mac and Candela.
Yeah.
Of course, we have the BS show with Ben Smith, and he's doing his thing. And John and Paul, they're
moving to Tuesdays,
well.
By the way.
They'll be on Tuesdays moving forward.
They'll be their regular Thursday time this week. But starting next week, they will be moving to Tuesdays, early afternoons. To set the stage before we come on for the nightcap.
No doubt about that. And we are expanding.
Yet another podcast.
That's
what?
Right. I know. Deshaun Davis. He's going to be making his debut very soon here.
We're excited
for his show and what he's going to have to bring to the table.
We've been working on getting him in and trying to make things work for a long time.
That's right. But, you know, the time has come. He's ready to to knock it out, and we are grateful to have him on our MF Prep Pros family. But, you know, the Heisman's right around the corner. I know there's getting a lot of hype because Jabril Peppers was named a finalist. I don't know where these votes come from, because I know we somewhat agree on the, you know, the season and the career that Jabril Peppers has had. You know, he's aboard that hype train, and he's getting a lot of love. He won all kinds of Big Ten awards, and now he's going to New York, and he's going to be in some kind of fancy suit or tuxedo, I'm sure. And we're going to hear all about him some more. Whether he comes back, he's yet to announce, but you know, there's a lot of hype that goes with the Heisman. You know, what are your thoughts on the Heisman candidates?
Oh, do you want to know? Can I kind of flip that a little bit?
Hey, I asked you the question. You can do whatever you want with your answer, bro.
What do I think of the Heisman candidates?
Think it's a soft year? What?
Yeah. Yes.
I agree.
I do. And to be honest with you, I feel as though the Heisman Trophy itself has become more watered down than the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That's a terrific analogy. Unbelievable. I could not agree with you more.
That's
a perfect way to put it.
Yeah, that's
when you have Madonna and such and the likes in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and you hit the nail right on the head with that comparison.
Yeah.
They just basically, if you're in the top 10 and you have a pretty good quarterback,
it's tough,
you're going to win the Heisman.
You know, there's especially with the way the college landscape is set up these days to get these kids in and out at their own will. Like it's very rare that, you know, a senior even wins it. And it was almost unheard of that an underclassman, particularly a freshman,
right,
would ever win it before Tim Tebow, right?
Exactly.
And
I think it was
that year with Tim Tebow and around that time where things really started to change the way, as far as the way the Heisman Trophy was voted for,
right,
and the criteria for it. You know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, the Heisman Trophy goes to the best college football player.
Okay.
And
not just the quarterback on the best team.
Right. And I honestly, that's what it's come to.
Yeah.
You know, and I know they try and get guys like Manti Te'o in there. Like he's the last defensive player to go. And look, I get it. It is very, very, very tough to win a Heisman as a defensive player.
Right.
Right. It's tough to win a Heisman.
Period.
Out of 7 out of 11 offensive positions.
Right.
Right. I mean, you really have to be either the quarterback that is on the highest passing team, you know, that not only leads in passing yards, but also passing attempts.
Right.
You know, and that sort of thing, and just hammering home touchdowns.
Or
and
you have to be
a wide receiver that returns punts.
Well, I'm talking quarterback wise, unless you're running all over the place too. If you have the passing and the rushing, it's all scheme. It's unbelievable. I just think they picked the top 5. Nike comes in and says, we're going to hype these guys from high school, and then you're going to vote for them for Heisman, too. Otherwise, we're going to pull our sponsorship. And that's what happened.
This is probably going to contradict my rant about Jabril Peppers a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
I do think he probably deserves to be invited on, not based on his stats or any big moments, but that's why he's not even close to being a winner, right? But when you look at him, it's kind of like the same thing as you can't leave Michigan out of the Orange Bowl sort of thing. Like even
right.
though you could have put Wisconsin in there, they're the Big East, or the West champions, whatever. Point being, I guess, is that when you look at Jabril Peppers and you watch him play, although he lacked the big moment, which is the reason why he won't win it, he is one of the better college football players in the nation. He is. Athletically,
right.
The dude is gifted. He's a beast on the field, right? He really is a true athlete. But I don't know, man. It's hard to answer that because I really don't believe in what the Heisman Trophy really stands for these days.
Who do you think will win it?
Who do I think will win it?
Deshaun?
Kid from Louisville?
Yeah.
Louisville?
Louisville.
Lamar Jackson?
Jackson. Then you got quarterback from Clemson.
Deshaun Watson.
Watson.
Watson. Who won it last year. You know, here's the thing. Again, I mean, he won it last year. Is he how do you not win it again? Especially when your team's right back in the college football playoff again.
Right.
You lost a lot of players on your team.
And still remain one of the top quarterbacks in the country.
Right.
No doubt about it.
So it's tough to argue that, right? And that's why, I don't know, I have an issue with giving it to underclassmen. I do.
Fair. That was a big issue back, because I remember, you know, back when Mike Hart was a freshman, he was putting up Heisman-type numbers, but that was literally what writers were saying. Well, he's a freshman. Very next year they gave it to Tebow. So.
Right. It was around
Adrian
Tebow's
Peterson
year.
Was in around in the mix, and
yes,
he was another freshman who I think was like in the mix, but he was a freshman. So I don't know. It's definitely times are changing, but I agree that it's definitely watered down and it's just become a popularity contest.
Did I derail that? Did I take that where you didn't want to go with it?
Absolutely not. I want to know your thoughts on the Heisman candidates, and I got it. And I thought that was a terrific place to go. But you know what? We have under 10 minutes left of the show, and I know you want to debut this nice new game that you're going to start setting us up called On the Spot. Want to tell us a little bit about that before we get in?
So we're going to roll out a new segment here called On the Spot that we're going to bring to the Mac and Candela podcast. And basically, you know, Nick and I will usually, you know, throw thoughts at each other back and forth throughout the week and just kind of toss ideas around show prep and where we want to go with this stuff. And obviously you've listened to the Mac and Candela show for the last few weeks, and you know what you're going to get with us. You're going to get some sports talk, some sitting around the table and just kind of talking sports, right? We're going to give you opinion.
Some entertainment. You're going to get some sports.
A very, very casual
get
show.
Heated arguments.
Right. So what I kind of want to do, because I typically have a tendency to do it once or twice during a show anyways. But I want to basically put you on the spot. We've got a list of questions prepared, for each one of us, that we have not discussed. That's going to entail a little bit more than a yes or no answer, possibly more than likely. But not something that we're going to turn into a full segment. We're going to kick things off this week, but we want to get the listeners involved. Obviously, on our show thread, we'll start putting it out there for the On the Spot segment, the hashtag On the Spot. We'll use it. If you want to know something during the show, we're basically going to put each other on the spot without show.
Right. Plan. Give us a list.
It's kind
of
like
questions.
Nick just did put me on the spot to explain it, because I really didn't think I was going to have to explain it.
Well, now that it's explained... Now that it's explained, I'm ready to play. So not only do you have a list of questions for me, but I have a list of questions for you. So how do you want to do this? You want to go back and forth, or do you want to ask me your questions, and then I come back and fire at you after all of your questions are completed? How do you want to do this? You want to go back and forth?
Yes, we'll go back and forth.
All right, so it is your segment. It is your game. I put you on the spot already by having to explain the game. So I give you the floor. Go ahead, put me on the
Which,
spot.
Which, by the way, I want the feedback. This is going to become like a competition of who asked the best question sort of thing, too.
Okay. All right,
cool. I don't know. We're going to figure out where to go with this. So, question number one for you, my friend, and this question was designed specifically for you.
Oh, I bet it was.
Being related to the Western Michigan Football Broncos, the undefeated team, won their MAC conference first time since 1988. They defeated Ohio in a very close MAC championship matchup.
Much
down at Ford Field.
Was gonna be.
Went undefeated, which hasn't been done since Randy Moss and Chad Pennington did it at Marshall.
What
we
a
are
team
Marshall.
That was.
The Western Michigan Broncos are heading down to the Cotton Bowl to take on the Wisconsin Badgers. They've already beaten a couple of Big Ten teams this year.
They're 2-0 in the Big Ten.
The Broncos are on their way down to the big stage. This is a two-part question. A, were the Broncos given the Cotton Bowl because P.J. Fleck is the most wanted man and he politicked for it, and they weren't going to, once he politicked, they weren't going to deny him? Or B, do the Broncos really deserve to be there in aspects, in terms of
Will they be able to give Wisconsin a fight, and do they have a chance to win that game? Do they belong, or were they gifted?
I'll answer your question in a couple of different parts. So were they given that game because of P.J. Fleck? Absolutely. Yes.
Roll the boat.
He is the hype man for college football right now. He's the most popular coach outside
that
of Jim Harbaugh and Saban. And this guy is headed somewhere. He's headed to Houston. He's headed to Oregon. There's been rumors about, you know, possibly Notre Dame. But there's a lot of jobs out there right now. And I don't know where he's going. I know he was very adamant about, you know, he didn't want to go anywhere. He was happy at Western. But money talks. And we've all seen Ted DiBiase out there on the sports forum already. And everybody has a price. And yes, they were granted that bowl game because of him. Do they belong? They are undefeated. Yes, they belong. Let's see what they got. Put them against a team. Who's a good opponent? A Big Ten opponent. Why? Because in the state of Michigan, they can go to Michigan State. They can go to U of M. They've played two Big Ten teams. They're undefeated against the Big Ten this season. They have the help. They have the scouting. They have the ability, the resources to hone in on what Wisconsin does and prepare very well for them. Are they going to win?
Do they have the talent? Is what I'm asking, because everybody knows P.J. Fleck gets the most out of his kids,
right?
And they're going to come out hype.
Right. They're going to come out hype.
Do they have the talent to hang? Can
they fight long
enough to hang or win this game?
They have one of the best wide receivers in the country.
Indeed. I'll agree.
They have a pretty good offense. Their defense has been stout. I don't know if they can hang with Wisconsin, but I think it's going to be a good game. It's going to be one of those games. I don't think it'll be a blowout.
Okay. So you don't think they can win?
I don't think.
You don't think they will
win? I don't think they will win, but I think they could hang.
And although they were gifted the Cotton Bowl, you do think they deserve it?
They're the only undefeated team in the country outside of Alabama.
Okay. Fair enough.
Give them a shot.
Had to get there a little bit. What you got for me?
All right. So we kind of touched on it a little bit ago when we were talking about the Lions. But I want to know, game by game, how will the Lions finish the year?
Game by game.
The rest of the year. Just
how
tell
will
me.
The Lions...
You can literally just say win, loss. Win, and they go to the second round and they lose to this team. The Lions season ends how?
The Lions season ends.
So starting this week, they're what?
Holy smokes.
Home against Chicago?
Holy smokes.
So Chicago.
You want me to take you game by game?
I just want you to say win or loss for the rest of the season and how their season ends.
Okay. They beat the Bears, the Giants. They beat the Cowboys.
Huh.
They lose to the Packers. They win the division. They match up with the Cowboys in the NFC Championship game.
And
the Detroit Lions go to the Super Bowl.
Are you serious? All right, hey, I put him on the spot.
That's I don't know. I
archive.
I have to
record
from my gut.
Archive.
Look, you put
we're
me on
be
the
able
spot.
To play this back.
You put me on the spot.
Hey, but that means
I had to go
not
with my
over
gut.
Yet.
I had to go with my
yet.
Gut.
You just extended them to another week. How do they finish the season? So far, you have the
they
Detroit
get blown
Lions
out in the Super Bowl
by
the New England Patriots.
So you're saying Brady Stafford. Lions in the Super Bowl,
yeah,
losing to New England.
Yeah.
Put this on the calendar,
Jeez,
write it
oh,
down.
Please, I can't believe I just said that.
I can't believe those words just came out of your mouth.
I really can't either.
Hey, it's 2016.
I mean, you can
why
see,
the hell
is
not?
This is a genuine, like, did I really just say that? Like,
his face is more red than
yeah.
cherry Kool-Aid right now.
I can't believe I just said that. Okay.
All right, next question.
Moving on, I want to stick to the NCAA with you.
Okay.
In honor of the Facebook discussions that have been going on as far as the college football playoff,
okay,
we have over time discussed extending to an 8-team.
We have put the scenario out of a 16 team, and we had also actually put the scenario out of a 28 team
because
field
of the
with like the Division II had when
right.
we were talking about them earlier in the group.
Yeah, big win.
So now that everything's kind of stirred over, two part question again: A, does the NCAA have it right? I want to readdress that question. We asked it a few weeks ago, but now that controversy is here, A, does the NCAA still have it right? And B, which one of those playoff fields is the most realistic for determining a national champion?
Okay, I'm going to stand by my ground and say they have it right, but they don't have it perfected yet. They're on their way. It's a good system, but it needs to expand from four to as many as we can fit in there.
So 28?
Can it work? Why do we have a top 25 if we're only going to let the top four play? What's the point of being ranked 16th? What's the point of being ranked 5th? Why do we rank 25 teams?
It's a valid point. So do you want to go a full 28 like Division II?
Yeah, why not? It works on every other level for every other sport.
Okay. That's wild.
And you can't say, oh, well, school, they got to take tests. So the kids in D2.
Yeah.
So the kids in D1. So the kids in D3. So the soccer players. So do the wrestlers. So do the volleyball team.
Okay. Fair enough. So you want to see 28 fields. You more the merrier.
Yeah, let's
expand it. Do
let's
it.
Let's do it all.
Do the damn thing.
Absolutely. March okay. Madness. Could you imagine November Madness? Unbelievable.
I'd love it.
All right. So my question will stick with this. And this one is, I think it's a pretty good question. Sparty. Is Mark D'Antonio the head coach of Michigan State in 2017? Two-part question. Is he the coach in 2018?
Yes and yes.
And you
no and no.
You don't think
– time out.
You don't think any NFL
can I,
jobs
can I go,
or
can
NCAA
I go something
jobs?
Real bold here?
Bold it out.
I feel like I just need to go bold here.
Hey, man.
See, this isn't even –
Italics isn't available, so you might as well go bold.
I don't know. So, yes, he is going to be – yes, he is going to be there the next 2 years. Bold answer, he's going to leave, and P.J. Fleck is your next coach at Michigan State.
I don't think P.J. Fleck is going to be there long enough if you think he's going to be there the next 2 years.
Yeah, it's tough to answer that one.
But you're saying yes. D'Antonio
yes.
will be there.
D'Antonio is going to be there.
Through 18.
Yeah, he should be there through 2024.
All right. I think we got time for one more apiece if we hurry.
Okay.
We got 2 minutes left of the show.
College football.
Okay.
Who gets your vote for the Heisman if you had a vote?
Watson.
Fair enough. We made the case earlier.
Yeah, he's the best
It'll
player on
sense,
the best
right?
team available.
Sure.
Okay. Next with you. Better movie, Top Gun or Wayne's World? You thought you were going to answer real fast, but then you hesitated.
Top Gun.
I'll give the nod to Top Gun two words. Kenny Loggins. You're
all right. Final question. In honor of more Facebook conversations taking place in the Michigan Prep to Pro Sports Talk Facebook group.
Oh, can't wait.
Can't wait. Does Matthew Stafford deserve to be an MVP candidate? And where does he have to go with this team to win it?
Win a playoff game, get to the NFC championship. Does he deserve to be a candidate? Yes, he's at least in the top five in votes, in my opinion. And I hope that answers your question. Win the NFC championship and give it to him.
All right.
Crown his ass.
It answered the question good enough for me. I don't know. We'll get better at that segment. We'll think of some good questions. That is it for Mac and Candela Tuesday night. It is just upon midnight. Enjoy your week. We'll be back next Tuesday, 10:30, 11 o'clock. We'll let you know. Follow us. Nick, get us out of here, man.
I'm Nick Candela for Mac and Candela. Peace. We're out of here.